looking at the waiver wire here on Fantasy Football Today, presented by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. What's up, Dave?
How are you, Adam?
Oh man, I already committed this cardinal sin that I was going to try to avoid. I've been listening.
That? Sounding like a prepubescent boy? Too late. You've been doing that for years.
Can't. No, I wasn't trying to avoid that one. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and I noticed that they all start with like, "Hey, I'm the host. Here are the other guys. How are you? Or what's going on?" And I need to up my game and say something more interesting. Dave,
all right, all right. So, blah, blah, blah.
Start over?
Just start over, Adam.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Build it beautiful! I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Heath Cummings. Dave, you were saying off the air you didn't really like Adrian Peterson in FanDuel last week. So fascinating. Why?
Because I didn't think he was worth the money. But didn't you just introduce us, which you said
like,
you weren't going
you
to
did
do?
The exact same thing you said you weren't going to
no,
do.
No. It's not
introducing
you.
Said build it beautiful before, and then you said I'm Adam Azer.
We didn't do the casual introduction where you asked us how we're doing, because no one really gives a damn how we're doing.
Exactly.
They just want to know who to start.
Exactly, right. It's the how are you? Like, people do that all the time, and it's just played out. Anyway, how are you guys?
I'm all right, man. Okay, I had a good week. I won a bunch of my games in my fantasy leagues and crushed it on the fan duelage.
Did you win in the podcast league?
No, I didn't win that league.
Who'd you
lost
lose
by
to?
10.
To who?
To, I forget.
To me.
Oh.
To 6-0, Adam Azer.
Congratulations.
With the fewest points against in the league by like over 100 points.
Paper champion.
Go ahead, Heath.
I had some really, really close victories, including one in the IDP league.
Ah, you beat me in the IDP league.
Yes.
Yeah, see, now no one's going to believe me that I actually won in any of my leagues, but I've salvaged a number of my seasons in leagues where I don't play against Heath and Adam, and I'm feeling good. I cashed in the Sunday Million on FanDuel.
Great.
First time this year. It took a long enough time, but I finally did it.
So,
and in our little CBS Sports Championship, I got bad news for everybody. Ooh. I finished inside the top 200.
Ooh. Okay.
So you're going to have had a really nice lineup.
You know who that's good news for?
Yeah.
That's good news for all the people that qualified for a spot in the first 5 or 6 weeks.
Right. Well, I mean, we've had some good weeks along the way. Yeah, I don't know where Jamie finished. Adam, do you know where you finished?
419th.
Oh, that's good for you. Not good enough.
That's good for you. Way to go. Did you just pat him on the head when you said that?
I did. I ran my fingers through his curly hair.
I was primed for a pretty big week, but I had Jordan Matthews and Sam Bradford last night, so that didn't work out so well. Anyway,
Marco Murray.
Guys, let's move on. Let's move on here. There is an update in the fake punt saga, and if you just go to @TheCauldron on Twitter, or you can see it on our website or anywhere, they recreated the fake punt from the Colts game on Tecmo Super Bowl, and it is incredible. Did you guys see it?
No.
It's so funny. Yeah, it's really cool. So check that out.
You know they weren't supposed to snap it, right?
Yes.
Like the whole point of it was just to try and catch the Patriots with 12 men on the field or to draw them offside.
Right. You're killing Chuck Pagano for it. It was actually Griff Whalen's fault.
Yeah. Whoever with the – was it Whalen
yes.
the snapper?
Yes. Griff Whalen was the center. So weird.
Is that weird to have your number 4 or number 5 receiver as your center?
A little bit.
I think we found out why more teams don't do that.
Hmm.
He did catch a touchdown later, so good for him. Anyway, let's talk waiver wire here. Tweet of the, we got the drop-o-meter coming up later and revealing the bonanza. Tweet of the day is from,
oh, wait, we got to get to that right now.
No.
Bonanza reveal?
Let's just talk football for a little bit first.
I'm really curious as to what, I think I know what game
occurred. Everybody thinks it was last night's game.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I don't know. Find out soon.
Come on.
Tweet of the day. It's from Texas Bruin 67. The Broncos, by far the number one DST. Do we actually drop them or try to find a way to keep them? What do you think?
I would find a way to keep them. You don't do that with your DSTs. You don't let them out there in the league because someone else is going to pick them up and they'll be the ones to balance two DSTs during their bye week. So please do your best to hang on to them.
Yeah, I had the Jets heading into like a week or two ago.
Right.
I dropped them.
Thank you.
And I thought I'd be able to get them back.
No.
And I was not. It was a fab league and somebody went like 18% of their fab budget on the Jets.
Yeah.
But
we
let
have
me
a
ask,
lot of fat budget in that league.
Let me ask you this.
Picking up.
The fact that the Broncos have Green Bay and at the Colts in weeks 8 and 9, does that make them more droppable?
I don't think the Colts are a bad matchup for a good defense.
I don't think the Packers are either right now. Now, they're going to get healthy during their bye week, but they've got some questions that need answering. The offensive coordinator came out and said Randall Cobb is not at 100% and that he is impacted by the shoulder injury he
suffered.
Eddie
Lacy's at like 143%?
Well, what do you think he's weighing these days? Because that's probably his percentage, his fat percentage.
Yeah. It's...
And I know about this because I'm fat.
Well, anyway.
And I don't mean the cool fat. I mean I've got this big, disgusting belly connected to the rest of my body.
What about Brandon McManus, guys? You want to keep him, too? He's the number one kicker.
Small
fantasy.
Children laugh at me.
I probably wouldn't keep McManus. But, it depends. Who's the last guy on your bench?
What if it's like Leonard Hankerson?
Like, do you have Colin Kaepernick as your second quarterback? Then I'd drop Kaepernick and keep McManus.
Yeah, I mean... I would not try and keep McManus. Like, I don't think that he is a special enough kicker. And if somebody else, like, he's not Gostkowski. Is he close? Sure. But I'm willing to give him up if it means finding another kicker who could be just as good for the next several weeks.
What about to keep a not great backup quarterback?
You could do that. Like a Josh McCown?
Or a Colin Kaepernick.
You could do that too. I mean, it also depends on your league scoring, and maybe McManus has just been incredible in your league scoring, but
we laid it out yesterday with Kaepernick pretty well, though. He's got a straight up brutal schedule coming up. So don't hang on to him. All right. Last year, I want to look at Demaryius Thomas. Why? Well, here's why. He was playing with, I believe, an ankle injury in the first three games of the season. First three games, Demaryius Thomas had 13 catches, 141 yards, and a touchdown. Then he had a week 4 bye, part of the bye-nado, if you all recall. After the bye, he averaged 8 catches, 114 yards, and just under 1 touchdown per game over the last 13 games of the season. So the bye really helped him. The bye and sitting out a few games helped Calvin Johnson last year. So my question is, specifically I think with the Packers here, are Eddie Lacy and Randall Cobb capable of being Dez Bryant, or Demaryius Thomas, excuse me, not Dez Bryant, capable of being this year's Demaryius Thomas?
I don't get the impression that sitting around not playing football is going to help Eddie Lacy's cause.
He's got an ankle injury. It's about the ankle and the shoulder for Cobb.
I think Cobb, it's a much better chance that it helps Cobb.
It could help Lacy too, but it looks like for the foreseeable future, the Packers are going to go with a two-headed approach that will be led by James Starks.
As they should.
They've got to see it from Eddie Lacy. They've got to see him be a little quicker, be a little more nimble on his feet. That was part of the allure of him, was that he was a big physical running back with nice, gentle feet. And he was able to make moves and cuts that a lot of guys his size can't make. And now he's not making them. It's extremely frustrating. The Packers clearly know it. If you look at his usage, they know it. So... I'm very nervous. I would do whatever I could to get Starks on my team if I had Eddie Lacy.
All right. It's bonanza time.
All right. Hold on. Jamie's here.
Oh, he is?
I think we should all take a guess on who the bonanza was before you open it up. And I want to see this envelope.
I saw it. I see it right now. I saw the email. I read it already.
But yeah, Jamie already knows. Jamie knows.
Okay. But I didn't look at it until Sunday night.
Okay. And now it was down to two games. I will say that. There were two finalists. So Dave and Heath, you want to guess?
I'm saying it's last night's game.
I thought it was Arizona-Pittsburgh.
Okay. Here we go. You ready? Ripping up the envelope. Heath, I'm going to show it to you via Skype. You can read it. The bonanza. Oh, wow.
Can I?
It was
New England and Indianapolis.
Dun, 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 dun.
I played it safe. I got the bonanza win.
Deion Lewis disagrees with you.
It was almost going to be Giants Eagles, but it's because I didn't know on Sunday about Beckham and Randall. In my heart, it really was Giants Eagles, I guess. I really thought that the Patriots was just too easy, so I was going to go out on a limb there. And boy, was that a terrible game last night. But here's some, excuse me. God, I cannot get over this illness, and I apologize for coughing at you. Here are some of the bonanza tweets I got. Giants versus Eagles must have been Adam Seager bonanza. This is all last night, by the way. This was the bonanza, right? Just admit it. Any of you getting the sneaking suspicion that this game was Adam's secret bonanza? Maybe it's because I played Brad for this week, but I feel like this game was the bonanza pick. If that envelope opens tomorrow and reveals Monday Night Football as the bonanza, I give up. You called this game the bonanza, didn't you? Adam Azer, I know this game is your magic, is it your magic envelope? And so on and so forth. And then, I'm fairly certain Star Wars 4 is also Adam's fourth favorite Star Wars behind 1, 2, and 3.
Well, you don't even like Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't like Star Wars. Weird. You should all know so, that as well.
Is this the first bonanza you've gotten right?
Yeah. Yes.
Can I tell you what happened? So I had two bad starts of the week to open the season, and I haven't missed since. So hopefully this is the same for you.
All right. We're getting back on track. And I also took a week off, so I think I'm 1-3 on bonanzas. But anyway, how about that game last night?
It's been 6 weeks.
Then maybe I took 2 weeks off?
I'm glad we're keeping
maybe
track.
You're just not good at counting.
Let's talk about the Eagles-Giants game. 27-7 Eagles, a game that set football back decades.
There were some good plays in this game.
Ugh. Terrible, terrible football. 7 turnovers. What was your biggest takeaway? What were some of your biggest takeaways from this game?
I was kind of surprised the Giants gave up a little bit in the fourth quarter.
They totally gave up.
Yeah.
With 8 minutes left, yeah. They quit.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, just watching them, no urgency, running the ball.
They had a drive that started with just over 8 minutes left. They were down by 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they maybe ran 8 or 9 plays, and 5 of them either went to Rashad Jennings or Shane Vereen.
It was so weird. It was, and Eli was just kind of like loafing around. They were letting the clock run down. I didn't understand it.
Do you think he was scared?
I think they quit.
It just seemed like, okay.
I don't ever want to accuse Eli or
I don't think it was Eli. I think it was just the team. It just looked like the play calling was getting in slow. I don't know what it was. That's just my take. I'm glad you feel the same way, Heath, because it looked like I'm watching it going, what are you doing? Like, you know, we sit, Adam, you know this, we sit and we watch games with Pete Prisco all the time, and he always talks about how teams, when they start to look better, is when they start to play fast. You know, getting to the line of scrimmage early, you know, no play calling, just let the quarterback do what he needs to do. And I thought that's what the Giants were going to do, and they got the ball there. And it was just like, okay. Felt like it was the second quarter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think like he was just
getting
beat up all night, and maybe they just didn't want him to get hurt. It was really a bad performance.
Maybe he shouldn't play football.
Well, I mean, but they just had a really bad game on the offensive line. Are there long-term concerns for you guys about Eli Manning, Sam Bradford, Odell Beckham, who, you know, is not 100%, he said, or Jordan Matthews? So the two quarterbacks and the two number one receivers, are there long-term concerns for any of you on those four guys?
I think you have to be concerned about Jordan Matthews, who, despite getting good targets pretty much every week, has not come up with a big game since, I think, week 1.
Week 2.
Yeah.
So earlier this year. So it's been a while, and his value is clearly dropping, and people aren't going to be as interested in starting him. I don't like the fact that he missed time in this game. 79% of the snaps. He's a player I expect to see playing all the time. Moreover, we're seeing Riley Cooper end up catching a bunch of deep passes. Saw it against Washington. I saw it again on Monday. He's almost going to start to turn into a player that you might think about using as a bye week replacement, especially if you're in a matchup where you know you're going to need a ton of points and you need a boomer bust type receiver. He's been that guy for Philadelphia.
Bradford missed him on 2 throws that would have probably put him closer to 7 or 8 fantasy points. And so
on Matthews, you mean?
On Matthews, mm-hmm. Yeah. And this week, I think actually if you can get him cheap, I would try and do so.
He's going to have
a bad game this week, most likely, because their secondary is good. And so I think if you can get him cheap, maybe you get him now, maybe you wait a week and get him next week. The best is still yet to come. He closed the season last year playing at a very high level. Now, granted, it was the quarterback change from Foles to Sanchez. Maybe that gets him going. Maybe it's after their bye week as well. I still think there's a lot of good left in Jordan Matthews, but probably better suited in PPR leagues than standard formats.
Keith, DeMarco Murray had another nice game, over 100 yards and a touchdown. He did have 3 carries for 30 yards on the final drive of the game, where they were just killing the clock. What do you think about him rest of season?
I don't want to discount the fact that he had 3 carries for 30 yards when they were just killing the clock, because hopefully if the Eagles are the team we thought they were and they're winning games, that's going to be a part of DeMarco Murray's usage.
Yeah, but what did we just get done saying about the Giants and how they looked in the second
half? It looked like they quit.
Right. So right. I don't know if we can really take that and expect him to do that in garbage time every time.
He also had a really nice run on his touchdown.
Yeah.
With a nice stiff arm off the right tackle. Listen, he's been somewhere in between completely disappointing and acceptably good.
Well, he's been good 2 weeks in a row, so that is encouraging.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I looked today. I think in PPR leagues now, he and Adrian Peterson have both played 5 games, and he has 1 more PPR fantasy point than Peterson.
Oh, how about that? All right, wrapping up that game. Sam Bradford, drop him or hold him?
I think you hold him. He's going to have a tough game this week against
right.
Carolina.
But that's the thing, is that I don't know if I'd want to use him this week. I've okay. got him ranked too high. I think I've got to pull him out of there. But I don't know who I like better.
It's a bad week.
It really is going to be a very challenging week.
Really?
Teams
think so?
That are,
I don't
especially
think so
at running back.
I think the running backs are actually great.
Do you?
Yeah.
We're seeing two different things, I guess. But I'm worried about running backs and DSTs this week. I think it's going to be tough.
Let me tell you about Squarespace. There's a good chance that some of you at some point are going to need a website, a portfolio, an online store. Maybe you already have one of those. If you haven't used Squarespace, you need to do it right now. Squarespace is so much fun. I was on there this morning. Go there right now. Just click on templates. You're going to see just how many options you have to make your website look amazing and, more importantly, very professional. Or click on logos. You can mess around on there and just create a personalized logo. Seriously, you're going to have a lot of fun making the website, and that's really important. You don't want it to be difficult. You don't want coding. None of that on Squarespace. It's a very enjoyable process. Also, it doesn't cost much, just $8 a month. You get a free domain if you sign up for a year. This site is great. Use it right now to build your website. Start your free trial site today. No credit card required at squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code FUN to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, build it beautiful! Oh, Dave, you threw me off. All right, guys, give me your top 3 waiver wire priorities for this week. Go.
I would say Christian Michael would be at the top of the list, since it sounds like he's going to get an opportunity against or for the Cowboys. James Starks would be right up there with him. I think he would be number 2. I don't know if I've got a third one.
I think my third.
My third is open. I'm open. What have you got?
I think the third one's pretty clear, unless you're just stacked at wide receiver. I think it's Stephon Diggs. He has looked really good the last 2 weeks for Minnesota. He may very well be Teddy Bridgewater's favorite target. They struggled to run the ball this week for really the third time in 5 games.
That was a lot of matchups, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, Diggs is taking over for Charles Johnson as a starter. For now, we'll see what happens when Johnson comes back, from his rib injury. I like Diggs too. I would say this week is weird just because of the guys you're missing. And there's really not really a slam dunk guy. Christian Michael is the closest thing to it, but he's owned in over 50% of leagues already. So you're kind of looking at it. A lot of people picked him last week. Diggs is the one that's the most readily available. For me, it would be Michael Starks. And then it kind of comes down to what you need. So, like, I could see Blake Bortles if you still need quarterback. I could see Jordan Cameron if you need a tight end. He was dropped in a lot of leagues.
Yep.
And then, but if you're just looking for the guy who's most readily available, Diggs is easily the closest guy because he's only owned 4% of leagues.
Okay. We'll come back to those guys a little bit later. I do have a follow-up question, though, for Christian Michael. He's getting first-team reps for the Cowboys. That's very encouraging. His schedule totally stinks. I don't know if you've taken a look into the future, but here it is. At the Giants, which might not be that bad given what we've seen this week here at the Giants after the bye. Seattle, Philadelphia, at Tampa Bay could be really good. At Miami, we'll see about that. Carolina, at Washington, at Green Bay, then the Jets at Buffalo in week 16 and Washington again in week 17. Does that give you any pause? It looks like a pretty difficult running back schedule.
Well, you listed a couple teams there that sound tough, but they're really not anymore. Seattle's not a tough team to run on anymore. Giants aren't a tough team to run on anymore.
Well,
Washington's not a tough team to
Washington's
run on anymore.
Washington's gotten thrashed 2 games in a row.
Okay. I don't know that Seattle's not that tough anymore. I don't know that the Giants aren't that tough anymore.
Well,
like they're not great
game,
matchups.
They didn't have Bobby Wagner.
They're not that great matchups, okay? There's not like Tennessee, Tampa Bay, Cleveland on there or anything like
that. Right, but go back last year when Seattle, I think, was a better defense and this offensive line helped DeMarco Murray run through that team.
Totally. Yep. So you don't really consider it. You just pick up the guy who's going to get the opportunities for Dallas.
I think I'd rather have Starks than Michael.
I wouldn't.
I know that's not popular, but just to offer it.
Well, why don't you explain it?
Because I don't feel like Christian Michael's definitely getting 70% of the carries in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. But he might.
He might get the same percentage of the carries that James Starks get.
And you'd rather have the Packers running back.
I think so. At this point in their careers, we don't have a reason to believe that Christian Michael's better than James Starks.
I think you're discounting Eddie Lacy too soon.
I agree.
Okay.
I think Eddie Lacy could come back and make things tough on Starks.
He could.
And, you know, when's the last time Starks was a consistent fantasy running back? That's, and listen, Michael has never been, but Michael's also never had an opportunity like this.
Right.
So it, there will be people that, the people who don't like Christian Michael, or they just don't like the Cowboys, because when Tony, the run game might be a problem until Tony Romo comes back, or at least until Dez Bryant comes back. They're going to say, right. Forget Christian Michael. I'm just going to go with Starks. And you know that there's going to be a good chunk of people who play fantasy who want Starks just for, because they have Eddie Lacy, or they know the guy who's in first place as Eddie Lacy, and they're early up in the waivers, and they can get James Starks, and he's got incredible trade value right now.
Right.
So it's going to, your opinion's going to matter a little bit on this, but just speaking widely, I'll take the guy that's got the clear cut potential to be that guy in Dallas over the guy who is not exactly the guy in Green Bay and might not be the guy in Green Bay 3 weeks from now.
Let's do our injuries news and notes. Quarterbacks, Tyrod Taylor hoping to play this week. They have Jacksonville in London. Jacksonville's given up big games to Tannehill, Hoyer, and Tom Brady this season, so Taylor might not be that bad. We'll talk about that later in the week. Marcus Mariota, sprained MCL. If Zach Mettenberger goes, might not be great for Kendall, right? He only had one good game with Mettenberger last year. They've got Atlanta this week. Ben Roethlisberger, a long shot to play this week, according to the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. They're at Kansas City, so it's a great matchup. Running back news, talked about Christian Michael getting the first team reps. Carlos Hyde expects to play Thursday against Seattle. Zach Zenner out for the year with cracked ribs and a partially collapsed lung. Tough break for Zach Zenner. Anybody picking up Joique Bell this week?
No.
Okay.
And by this week, do you mean ever?
We'll see. See, somebody's got to get the carries there, right? Emmanuel Sanders, sprained AC joint, but could be back after the bye. Keenan Allen, likely going to play this week. DeSean Jackson status, unknown for this week. X-rays on Allen Robinson's leg were negative, so that's a good sign. Sammy Watkins, unlikely to play this week. Percy Harvin is out. Jeremy Maclin has that concussion. We have to monitor him. Ty Montgomery has an ankle sprain. Dez Bryant, not likely to play this week, according to the NFL Network. And they're at the Giants, and that was the week they were targeting for Dez. Meanwhile, Julius Thomas has a rib contusion, so if you own him, you might have to be a little active on the waiver wire. And Marcus Cannon, New England left tackle, minor injury, should be fine. Now, I get to play against Dave, Jamie, and Heath all the time. I'm in leagues with them. If you want to play against us, you can do that every week on FanDuel.com. That's FanDuel, the leader in one-week fantasy football. Dave dominated this week, top 200, very good. You want to play fantasy football without worrying about injuries, without worrying about bye weeks, tough matchups, without spending hours on the waiver wire if that's not something you love doing. FanDuel is where you need to be playing. FanDuel is expecting to pay out $2 billion this year. Take advantage of that. Play on FanDuel. Win some money. And sign up now. Use our offer code CBSPOD. That's CBSPOD. FanDuel is going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200, and that'll get earned as you play. So don't miss the CBS Sports 1 Week Fantasy Football Championship on FanDuel. We've been talking about it. Again, that's FanDuel.com/CBSPOD. $10 to enter. Double your cash each week. Compete against us. And you can play in a free $100,000 final in week 11, FanDuel.com/CBSPod. Well, here's something a little bit different. I actually have to hop off the podcast. I do apologize. I'm going to leave it to...
Mr. Important.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it to the very capable people down in Fort Lauderdale, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Incapable?
We'll figure that out at the end of the show.
Okay.
So you guys do the waiver wire, see if you can get to the dropometer, and I will talk to everybody on Wednesday.
All right. Take it away, fellas.
Well, what's the saying? The cat lover's away, the mice will play? No, it's not quite that, but it's something like that. I guess we'll go through the waiver wire now?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. And let's start with quarterbacks, Jamie.
Sure.
The quarterback that we must add this week. There isn't one, right?
Portals. Yeah, if you haven't picked him up already.
He's still out there in 40-something percent. Yeah. So... Listen, he's got Buffalo this week. They're going to have to throw. Then a bye. Then it gets a little tougher. He's playing the Jets after that. And then at Baltimore, where things will get good again.
I think Buffalo could be really bad over across the
Their offense has a lot of question marks right now.
Right, they do.
Like, how are they going to be able to pass the ball?
Buffalo's?
Well, if Taylor plays.
If Taylor plays, that'll help him. But if he's out and EJ Manuel ends up starting...
Well, I guess
I think there could be some issues there.
I guess that kind of goes to my point that if their offense is terrible, couldn't this turn into like a 9-6 game?
Well, it could, but at the same time, another key player missing is TJ Yeldon.
And potentially Allen Robinson, which is the key to all of it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I think Robinson just has a bruise.
Right, but it's still it's a long flight. You don't know how that's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
He's the key to it all. If Robinson's out, then forget about it. But Robinson's probably going to be negated anyway. So I don't know if, even know if I would trust Robinson to help Bortles' production because Stephon Gilmore has basically eliminated every number one outside receiver he's faced this year.
I think this is kind of rare. Your second quarterback is on a bye this week. But I like it.
Well, I think it comes down to what you need for this week. Like, if I'm looking at it this week only,
right,
it would be Bortles 1, Bridgewater 2, Landry Jones 3.
Yeah,
it's the matchup.
If I'm looking at it long term, it would be Cutler 1.
For sure.
Bortles 2. Mm-hmm. And then it gets a little sketchy.
I thought Cutler was one of the bigger winners from the weekend because if he has all his weapons healthy, that's actually a pretty good offense, especially considering they have a bad defense, so they're going to have to be scoring a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the same script pretty much every single week.
Colin Kaepernick, 53% owned. He's on the list, but we've talked about it yesterday. His schedule is just way too bad.
I agree with you, but if he comes out of this week with another good stat line, no turnovers, decent production, you have to start to buy in.
On a short week against an angry Seahawks team, don't you think this is going to be a disaster?
I do, but okay. Is it a good Seahawks team? It's an angry Seahawks team, but we're going to keep saying this every week. Well, they're an angry team. They lose again. I mean, the formula is kind of laid out for Kaepernick to follow what Cam did. Run a little bit, throw it with a little success, utilize your playmakers. I don't know if their defense is as good, especially if Wagner misses another game.
Potential drop candidates. We've got Peyton Manning, still 99% owned. No one giving up on him quite yet. I think Joe Flacco at 82% is too high.
It's definitely too high.
Mm. And you're not going to want to use him this week anyway, so this is a good time to get rid of him.
Right. And then Marcus Mariota, 68%. He did not look very good this week. I don't think his line can protect him.
Well, not anymore. They had some injuries. He lost his center. That guy's out for the year, and I think he lost another lineman at one point during the game.
Speaking of injuries, got several of them at running back. Carlos Hyde with a foot, Duke Johnson, Zach Zinner, Chris Thompson, Bilal Powell.
Right. Now, Hyde is expected to play, but it's Seattle on a short week. Might come down to Bobby Wagner. If Bobby Wagner plays for Seattle, I think Hyde's somebody you got to stay away from. But if he's out, I think Carlos Hyde might have a chance. This was the first time... Last Sunday was the first time this season where he had a lot of work and he didn't have production to go with it.
We kind of already talked about the running back situation with Christian Michael and James Starks. You guys both think Michael's the number one waiver wire pickup of the week, though, for sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Theo Riddick in PPR leagues, any interest in that at all?
Of course, because I think that he's going to be the guy in that role. We had another game where Amir Abdullah fumbled. So, at this point, the coaching staff is going to have to reel in his role a little bit. He was used the most, and a lot of it came in overtime. Because
which was shocking to me.
Why they used him in overtime?
Amir Abdullah.
I think everybody else was just tired, and Zenner had gotten hurt by that point.
Right.
So, I mean, they were down to two guys.
Yeah. I just couldn't believe.
If Joy Bell can't get healthy, Abdullah is still going to get in there, but I think Riddick is going to keep at least a big chunk of the workload.
Robert Turbin at 4% owned in arguably the most disgusting running back situation that I can ever remember.
I'm looking at it right now. 9 carries for Johnson, 11 carries for Crowell, 10 carries for Turbin. I mean, it's as even a split as you can of just disgustingness.
Right. They don't know who's going to be the guy long term. No. I know they like Turbin.
Right. But if you want to look to buy into somebody, I mean, maybe he's the guy.
Well, Duke also got hurt in the game.
Sure.
And we know that he's injury prone.
Sure.
And if he's gone, Isaiah Crowell is not going to be the passing downs back in Cleveland. Turbin can get that role.
Maybe.
And I think he can.
You know, Crowell has actually made two of his best plays this season. We're catching the ball the last 2 weeks. And he had more targets than Turbin.
Mm. Yeah, Turbin didn't even have a target.
Candidates.
He
You've
did,
got Melvin Gordon.
One.
Mm-hmm.
You got Melvin Gordon at 89% as a potential drop candidate.
10-team leagues.
10-team leagues, okay. CJ Spiller, still 66% owned. People still believe.
It's...
What type of league would you still own him in?
I still have him in a 14-team PPR league. I was thinking about starting him. It wouldn't have mattered if I started him or not. I obliterated my opponent. But he's somebody who I would cut for Michael or Starks if they're on the waiver wire. That's a no-brainer.
What about for Riddick?
Yeah, in a PPR league, yeah.
Jamie Riddick over Spiller?
I think Riddick, if the last time I looked, is leading all running backs in receptions.
Wow.
Or he's right up there.
That's what we thought the guy. That's the guy we thought C.J. Spiller was going to be.
Right. I think if I
we thought Amir Abdullah would have that chance.
I could look it up, but I'm pretty sure Riddick's on pace for 100 catches.
a lot of injuries at the wide receiver position. Sammy Watkins was on crutches after the game. Keenan Allen with a hip injury that doesn't sound like it's as serious as we originally thought it might be. Is that right?
Right.
So we think he's going to play this week?
He should be fine.
Allen Robinson with kind of an undisclosed leg injury. Like, the x-rays are okay, but we don't know.
It's like a deep bruise is what I think it was reported as being.
Jeremy Maclin in the concussion protocol. Anquan Boldin with a hamstring.
Yeah, Theoretic leads all running backs with 33 receptions.
That is ridiculous.
So 33 through six games. It's about 5 per game. Yeah, he's on pace for at least 90.
Okay, you're beat up at wide receiver. Your team is good everywhere else, but your wide receivers are just not good at all. Stephon Diggs, you're in a fab league. What percentage of your budget are you giving for Diggs?
I don't know if I'm giving a ton. I'm not sure if he can keep it up. I like him.
Yeah.
And the targets have been great. And I don't think Charles Johnson's going to get his job back. But this is still a team that wants to run the ball a lot. They've got Adrian Peterson.
Oh, they ran it a lot this week.
And right now, no one's really sure about Stephon Diggs. But eventually, defenses are going to catch up. And then what?
Okay, his next 4 games: at Detroit, at Chicago, St. Louis at home, and at the Raiders.
Yeah, favorable matchups, no doubt. But they're also favorable matchups, 3 of them anyway, for Adrian Peterson.
10%?
Sure.
No, I would do 5.
Okay.
I think you should try and get him, but I don't know if this is sustainable, because again, it's come with Charles Johnson not playing. And I don't think it's just a situation where Johnson just gets shoved to the side. They're still going to use Mike Wallace. They're still going to use Kyle Rudolph. They're still going to use Adrian Peterson out of the backfield. So his targets are going to probably, what would you say? Charles Johnson comes back, his targets dip 10 to 15%?
Yeah, that's 2 targets a game he loses, maybe.
See, I think what it could do is really, if I'm going to be an optimist in Minnesota, it could open the door for Johnson to work on underneath routes. And they've now established Diggs for 2 weeks. There's enough film on him where defenses are going to have to pay attention to him. And when Johnson comes back, it might actually make their passing game a little more formidable, because they've got Wallace on one side, Diggs on the other. Maybe Johnson works into the slot, and maybe he can start to get some of his mojo back. So it's possible that that's your new 3 receiver set, but then they're putting Jarius Wright off the field, and I know they like him too. So maybe Johnson doesn't actually get his role back, but I don't know if the targets are going to keep up.
I think you're right. I don't think he gets his role back, but I think he's just going to be another mouth to feed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean, you know, I understand, and I think we said this on Sunday night, Dave, that this is now the second year in a row where we've kind of liked a Minnesota receiver
mm-hmm.
and been burned by it.
You mean before the season starts?
Before the season started.
And then once the season gets rolling, another guy emerges.
Right. I think, though, they've, I don't want to say they've invested a lot in Charles Johnson, but Norv Turner brought him to Minnesota with him. He likes this kid a lot. I wonder how much the injuries have played a part with him, or is just he's just not that good. But I just don't think they're just going to all of a sudden say, you're done until another injury occurs. I think it's they'll work him back into the rotation some way, somehow.
If Diggs is the swing for the fences, maybe he turns into a home run, maybe he strikes out and you drop him in 2 weeks, then I feel like Rishard Matthews is the sacrifice bunt. I don't think Matthews is going to be great at any point, but amazingly, he's still getting more targets than any other receiver in Miami.
See,
most snaps of the entire season.
Yeah. I think he's here to stay. That just the fact that his usage coming out of the bye speaks a lot.
Right. This was an interesting week.
Like, I would rather spend on Matthews than Diggs.
I'll tell you, when I was ranking these guys for the priority list,
mm-hmm.
it was tough for me, even with LaFell, because I think if LaFell comes back, especially this week,
mm-hmm.
it could be interesting for him. It could be interesting for Marvin Jones if you want to look long term, because we've seen him now play at a very high level for 3
and he's still games. Is this right? 42% owned, that's
right.
It
because mm-hmm. people picked him up and then they dropped him.
Mm,
so this is just a weird week for the receivers, because I don't think there's a slam dunk at the position, but I also think there's a lot to like at this position, because all these guys could be, I don't know if to use your phrase, I don't know if they're all swing for the fence type guys.
Right.
Maybe Diggs is the one, but we haven't seen him find the end zone yet. He could just be Jameson Crowder, who had a couple of good weeks,
right?
And
right.
maybe falls off. He could be Jarvis Landry, who just is a PPR guy. But you know, we haven't seen the best of Teddy Bridgewater yet. It's just a weird week at that spot where I look at it and I would take a chance on Diggs, but that's why I kind of was leaning toward not spending a ton of fab.
Well,
because
right.
Matthews are,
like, I think 10% max is fine for either of these wide receivers. Maybe closer to 15% for Matthews for me, because I think he's got some staying power.
Another guy that almost had a monster game this week, Michael Floyd. He had a touchdown, but he had three targets in the end zone.
Mm-hmm. He had a touchdown.
And he had five catches in the game.
Yeah.
The second touchdown was called back.
He's 57% owned, and he gets Baltimore this week, and then he gets to go to Cleveland. Over the next 2 weeks, I don't think it should surprise anybody if he's the most productive wide receiver on this list.
Can we get three good games or three good performances from each receiver in the same game?
I don't think so.
Right.
So who
suffers?
If we can, it will happen against Baltimore.
Right.
It could potentially happen against Cleveland, too.
It could happen against Cleveland,
Let's face it. Look at these matchups. They're not so bad.
But I think the deal with difference with Baltimore is I could see Baltimore stopping Arizona from running the ball.
Okay, and that's why Carson Palmer is just going
to
throw it.
Cleveland, I think whoever's running the ball is probably going to have success. It'll be hard for all three wide receivers to have a good game against them. But, yeah, I mean, if they're ever going to all three have a good game, it'll be this one. But you're right. Michael Floyd's third in the pecking order on his own team. It's hard to be a good fantasy option.
He can be a good red zone option.
Does it make you nervous that it was Fitzgerald who struggled because those two are the outside guys? Brown is going to continue to be the slot guy for the most part.
It doesn't make me nervous about Fitzgerald necessarily, no. Because, I mean, even when he struggled, he still had, 9 for 80?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he played great, but, you know, you just wonder.
He just didn't get the red zone targets.
Right.
Moving on to tight end, you mentioned Jordan Cameron earlier, 57% owned. I'm surprised that people got that down on him that quickly.
Well, it was bye week, too.
Okay, yeah. He should definitely be the highest owned guy on this list.
I'll tell you what was interesting, and I remember asking Brady Quinn about this on Thursday night last week, was tight end coach being promoted to head coach. And does that sort of lean toward maybe a few more plays for Cameron? If you look at his numbers, though, targets are exactly the same from pre-bye week, post-bye week, or pre-coaching change, post-coaching change. But you did get two touchdowns from the tight end position. Deion Sims also scored in this game. It was Cameron's first touchdown of the season. So maybe confidence could be a little bit better in Cameron's situation, health coming off their bye week. But the best thing for me with Cameron, facing the Texans. Yeah. They have really been bad against tight ends. Julius Thomas just scored against them. Greg Olsen, remember, he had the bad week one, faced the Texans week two. 14 targets, played great in that game. And then the only good game Travis Kelce's really had so far was the week one game against Houston.
And I assume Delanie Walker, who gets to play the Texans next week, going up against the Falcons at home in a game where they're probably going to be chasing the scoreboard, he ought to be a pretty good play, too.
I also went back and forth between these two guys.
Right.
The quarterback situation, though, would downgrade Walker a little bit because he played well with Mettenberger last year. But I still think, though, you'd rather have Cameron clearly in a good matchup than Walker in a good matchup with the quarterback situation being what it is.
Dave, at the bottom of this list, Ladarius Green, we've talked already about on FanDuel side of things, we love Antonio Gates because he's playing the Raiders. Ladarius Green plays that position too. He's also playing the Raiders. If Keenan Allen was limited in any way, I think Green is a great play.
Isn't he a great play anyway?
You think so?
Because of just, he's one of those guys that can take over and be open in that short area passing game, which is basically what the Chargers have to rely on.
Right.
Because they can't run the ball well. The offensive line's trouble. Melvin Gordon's putting the ball on the ground. They can't use Danny Woodhead as a traditional running back 15 times per game. It's going to fall on Phillip Rivers throwing the ball. And against Oakland, the weakness of that defense is definitely their pass defense, and we've seen them struggle with tight ends. They made a change against the Broncos on who covers tight ends, and it worked for them. They're probably going to stick with it coming out of the bye week. But San Diego's got two of them. And one of them is a pretty young, athletic guy who's managed to put some decent numbers together. He's kind of touchdown dependent. In fact, he pretty much is touchdown dependent. So if he doesn't score, you're going to be left with 5 points standard, 10 points PPR. But I think he's going to play a decent amount. And I think he's going to get you in that at least 5 for 50 range as long as Stevie Johnson's out.
You would trust him, though, if Keenan Allen plays? Because I believe his targets were almost right after Allen went out last week.
I'd have to check. Actually, that's
his,
a good,
his touchdown was after Allen went out.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's
to me,
a factor.
The way I phrase it in the column is if Allen is out, you can start with Ladarius Green. Like start with Ladarius Green.
Right.
If Allen plays, I would only maybe consider him in a tournament.
I don't.
They haven't given up. They've given up multiple touchdowns to tight ends in a game. Not to two guys though.
I don't want to overlook Benjamin Watson because we talked about him a lot in the preseason. Then he got off to a terrible start. Everybody forgot about him. He scored two touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, had a fantastic game against Atlanta, gets a good matchup against the Colts. Should people be picking him up?
I think so. The one thing is, though, the Colts prior to last week had not really been beaten up by tight ends, and clearly it was Gronk, and they did a good job on Gronk for the majority of that game. The one thing, though, that I think is really relevant with Watson is since the shoulder injury, it's a lot of short area passing for Drew Brees, and that's going to favor somebody like Watson, who's clearly not going to stretch the field. You know, he's probably can get in the seam and make some plays. He should have had a bigger touch. He should have had a second touchdown last week on a big play where Brees missed him, but he was wide open. So I think you buy into, like what you said, Heath, the second touchdown, you know, the last 2 weeks. That to me is important. And he did it against the Eagles, who for the most part have been lights out against tight ends in the Chip Kelly era. So I think it's worth a look, especially with the way Cooks and Snead have kind of gone a little bit yo-yo the last few weeks.
Dave, looking at streamable defenses for this week, the Dolphins are at home against Houston.
Bing.
Falcons on the road against the Titans.
Bing.
And the Vikings on the road against Detroit.
Eh.
No Vikings.
I wouldn't want the Vikings on the road against Detroit.
Okay, I have a question. Does it make a difference to you when you're looking at streamable defenses and you see that the Dolphins play the Texans this week and then next week they go on the road to play New England? Whereas the Falcons play at Tennessee, next week they're at home against Tampa Bay, and then they play San Francisco.
Right, so I'd rather have that one than the Dolphins, just so I don't have to make add drops every single week.
You agreed, Falcons?
Because, like, you know, if I don't know if I can get the Falcons in week 8.
Right.
By taking the Dolphins in week 7.
It's close enough that you can certainly go that route for sure. The one thing would be is if the Dolphins defense that showed up last week, is the Dolphins defense you're going to get the rest of the season?
Right.
Where the report that I read, which to me would be amazing and why Joe Philbin and Kevin Coyle both deserve to be fired, was that they went from a 2-gap to a 1-gap defense.
Yep.
And if that was the result,
yeah, why wouldn't they just go to the 1-gap defense?
Well, if you go back a few weeks, Ndamukong Suh was complaining about the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't adjust your personnel, if you don't adjust your scheme to your personnel, you're clearly
you're
wrong.
You're going to get fired. You're going to end up like Mike Martz.
You're going to end up like Joe Philbin. And this is clearly, you saw what happened. Now, again, Tennessee's defense is bad, which could help the Falcons, and Mariota got hurt in the game. But Cameron Wake woke up. Ndamukong Suh was, you know, right in the middle of that defense the entire day. And I think it would even be tough on New England if this is the defense that they face. Now, clearly, it's New England. They're going to do whatever they want to, but it can still be tough on them. So, long-term, again,
I wouldn't start them in New England. I'm assuming they have a good game anyway against Houston, but I still wouldn't use
them. The thing I'm getting at is if – and you can't – do this because we can't look into the future, but if you were to say to me, this is that's the Dolphins defense that shows up every week, I'd rather have that defense, because I think Atlanta's defense just really isn't that good. They just played a bunch of good matchups.
Let's move on to kickers, and then we will finish with the drop-o-meter or dropometer. Josh Lambeau, 24% at home against the Raiders. I like Josh Lambeau.
Good for you.
You don't like him?
I don't know. It's fine as a streamer for this week.
Raiders are in the top 5 in fantasy points allowed
to
kickers.
Right.
Josh Lambeau has had one game this year where he didn't have at least 2 field goals.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been a productive kicker. The other options there, Dan Carpenter at Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Kai Forbath at the Colts.
I like him.
Indoors. Seems like a good.
I like him. That's your new Saints kicker.
Another team that gives up a lot of fantasy points kickers.
Right. I like Forbath the best of the three.
We can probably got time for a couple of emails here. We don't have Adam telling us that we have to stop.
Forget him. He ditched us.
From Brent. Where's Brent's from?
Hollywood, California.
We missed you yesterday, by the way. Somebody told us they were from just north of the Mason-Dixon line, and nobody knew where the Mason-Dixon line
was. That's your fault.
Would you trade Dez Bryant for Amari Cooper?
If you need the help now and you need a starter at receiver, sure, but I'd almost rather... the timing of making this deal is terrible if you're giving up Dez. Because Cooper's got a tough matchup this week, and by week 8, Dez might be back. It's already looking like he's not going to play in week 7.
If you're 2-4, maybe yes. But
right, exactly.
Anything better, no.
2-4 and really thin at wide receiver, then maybe you go for it. But I would try and wait a week and see where Dez is at before I would make that deal.
I would still say no. You could probably shop Dez to a playoff caliber team and get something maybe a little bit better in return.
Grade the trade from Hex in California.
Okay.
And it's not California, the state. I think it's California, Missouri.
Hmm.
I don't know. Give Arian Foster, receive Carlos Hyde and James Jones.
Nay.
It's a C.
It's about even. I think I'd still rather have Foster. By a little bit.
You kind of don't know what you're getting in Foster at this point because he hasn't run the ball very well. It's a bad offensive line compared to where he's been in his career. But his usage has been fantastic. The receptions have been fantastic. And if he starts to get things going on the ground, then he's the best
right,
player.
Right, it's the rushing average that everybody's freaking out.
But it's also Carlos Hyde has been good at times, bad at times, and James Jones has been clearly a steal. But can he keep it up when Devontae Adams is back?
Okay, from Mark, he says, go Hawkeyes at the end, so I'm going to assume he's from Iowa. I was just offered straight up a trade where I give...
He could be an Adventures fan.
That's true. So, or Mesh.
Yeah, I was going to say. We're old.
Where I give up Eddie Lacy and receive Mark Ingram. It's a full-point PPR league.
I think at this point you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think so for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's an A.
Yeah.
It's scary to think about it.
Now, Dave, you corrected me. Why is it the drop-o-meter and not the drop-o-meter?
I mean, you don't know?
No.
Well, then I don't think I have to tell you.
Okay. Does it matter as to whether Adam puts the little dashes between the O and the...
No.
Okay.
Not for this purpose.
Okay. So, Trevor Davis sends us Ryan Matthews, drop-o-meter. 10 is the drop him. 1 is don't even think about it.
I wouldn't drop him. I would try and trade him to the DeMarco Murray owner as insurance.
So, give me a number.
1.
1.
To drop Ryan Matthews?
Yes.
1. 1
okay.
or 2.
1 or 2. Okay. Carlos Williams.
10. Unless I'm the LeSean McCoy owner.
Right. And again, I almost think this is the same thing, but I'd be more inclined to, I'd say 5.
5.
Because okay. we do know that LeSean McCoy isn't exactly A, healthy, B, able to stay healthy once he does get healthy. And Carlos Williams, obviously he's got something going on that's bigger than your run-of-the-mill concussion if he's been out for this long.
Sam Bradford.
God, I know the knee-jerk reaction after Monday is to say, yeah, cut him, you don't need him, but I still feel like he can put up some good numbers. I'm going to say 5. He's on the fence for me.
I'll say 7.
Wow. Okay. I thought you were going to be lower.
Yeah,
well, I
thought
mean,
so too.
You could stream that position so easily.
Right.
And he's got his bye, I believe it's week 8 or 9. I think it's 9.
Yeah.
So you can't really start him this week. You can't start him in 2 weeks. I don't know who they face in week 8.
Yeah, they're on bye in week 8 and then week 9 at Dallas.
So that's even better then. So you're not going to use him this week. You can't use him next week. So yeah.
So this guy sends.
I would hang on to him in a deeper league. Like
well,
14
sure.
Teams?
I mean, sure. It's contingent. You can make an argument to drop Eddie Lacy in a 10-team league. You can make an argument that you should drop C.J. Anderson and Peyton Manning. Clearly, at this point, you know. So
we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. Yep. This guy sends 3: Brandon Cooks, and in all caps, Brandon Cooks.
You can cut him in a 10-team league.
Zero.
Yeah.
I'm not cutting.
No. I recognize his faults right now. He can still be a decent fit for the Saints offense. I would say in a 10-team league, it's like an 8. 12, 14-team league, more like a 3.
Amir Abdullah.
5.
I'll go lower than that. I'll say like 3 for him, too.
We're always hardest on our children, Jamie. Duke Johnson.
Oh,
speaking of that.
In a standard league, you could make it like an 8. And in a PPR league, I think it's more like a 5. I think his value is strictly in PPR.
I would say it's an 8 almost in both. From the standpoint of this is now another injury for a guy that, you know, I know Dave, you and Adam maybe have different views on this, but Big Kane 2, maybe a little bit more of a Kane fan than you, slightly.
How dare you.
Has consistently professed that injuries are going to be a problem for him his entire career.
Right.
Bye-bye Peyton.
10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When are you going to feel good about starting him again?
Never.
Name the time. Hold on.
Never.
Let's look at his schedule.
He just played the Browns.
First of all, he's on a bye week this week. Stop me when you hear a matchup where you go, yeah, I think Peyton Manning could have 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Home against Green Bay.
Nope.
At Indianapolis. Put that one in the maybe pile. Home against Kansas City. Put that one in the maybe pile. At Chicago. Well, hey now, here's 3 great matchups in a row. Home against New England.
He's coming off of the Browns and the Raiders.
At San Diego. Home against Oakland, at Pittsburgh. Yeah, his schedule down the stretch is no good. So if you're going to hang on to
him. Down the stretch is no what?
No good.
Oh, no good.
I mean, listen, you've got the 3 games. Home against Green Bay in week 8, you're not going to use him. And then 9, 10, 11, yay. I mean, you got a chance at Indy, home against Kansas City, and at Chicago. 3 interesting matchups. What's his offensive line looking like by then?
Well, if they get Ty back on the left tackle.
Okay. What's the run game look like?
I was going to say, if his offensive line gets better, I think they just run the ball more. Because This is not, his offensive line is not affecting him throwing the ball.
No. Oh, yes, it is. Well, because the blitz is coming okay, more often.
When he throws the ball with time in a good pocket, it still doesn't look like Peyton Manning throwing the ball.
Oh, I would disagree. There have
you
been
think
some,
so?
There are some throws that are off, but if he's got time in the pocket, I would trust him.
Okay. Melvin Even Gordon.
Now. I'm not ready to give up on him. So zero.
10 in a 10-team league. Zero in anything larger than that.
Okay. Wow. I guess somebody wants to drop me and Chris Towers because we didn't know where the Mason-Dixon line was. Oh, someone needs to drop some knowledge on Heath and Chris Towers. Where is the Mason-Dixon line?
The Mason-Dixon line, well, according okay. to Wikipedia, is the boundary between Maryland and Pennsylvania taken as the northern limit of the slave-owning states before the abolition of,
Devontae Parker.
Abolition of slavery. 10.
Easy.
Antonio Andrews.
Only in a deep league would I say he's worth hanging on to.
Okay.
Otherwise, like 12 teams or fewer, 9.
And finally, I said we'd get to it, 10-team league, C.J. Anderson.
10.
10.
He stinks.
Everybody stinks. That's so sad.
How about the Royals? Did they stink for you?
The Royals.
Mr. Baseball fan?
We're not fantastic. I don't like indoor baseball or 4 p.m. playoff games.
Too much complaining for a guy whose team is still leading.
That's
and
right.
And is 2 wins away from
I'm just
series.
Trying to fill Adam's shoes.
Okay.
How am I doing?
You're not as whiny.
Okay. I will work on that, but thankfully...
You sound more like a man.
Adam will be back tomorrow. That will do it for the Waiver Wire podcast. Talk to you tomorrow.
Right. Bye.